Hi, I'm Tom Power. Welcome to Toy Harp, a podcast about bluegrass. This is the last episode of season two. Here from Nashville is my conversation with Allison Krauss.
I remember, you know, the first time I looked out in the audience and saw people singing words to our songs that only we had recorded. That was just a really crazy moment. Just never thought it'd end up being there. Never thought we'd hear back from Rounder. Yeah. Never thought we would hear from Rounder in the first place.
If this is your first time listening, you can hear full interviews with Jerry Douglas, Allison Brown, Bela Fleck, Larry Sparks, Jody Stecker, and so many more wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Later on.
Hey, happy hour listeners. Are you ready for summer festival season? Elevate your festival look with Sunhye Shades. Whether you're dancing to your favorite bands or kicking back to soak up some rays, Sunhye sunglasses are your sidekick for any adventure. And for a limited time, you can get 20% off your order using code HAPPYHOUR. Get your new go-to faves today at sunheist.com. That's SUNHEIST.com.
As you do a lot of this, and I mean, like, you know, in my band, we've been together like 17 years, and it's just finding new ways to be inspired, you know, to staying plugged in and not getting cynical or jaded about things, you know, just sort of like always trying to be true to the music. Yeah. I know that's a super cliche thing, but you know, when you sit down to work or you sit down to write a song or you play a show, it's like whatever you can do to the best of your abilities in that moment, you try to capture it, to be true to the essence of why you started doing it in the first place.
Welcome to the Travis Book Happy Hour Podcast. I'm Travis Book. This episode is brought to you by Thompson Guitars, makers of fine instruments, handmade with love in Sisters, Oregon. The podcast is presented by Americana Vibes and The Bluegrass Situation, and our show is part of the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network. You can dive into all things roots music anytime at thebluegrasssituation.com. I met Ed Jurdy at a taping of the Travis Book Happy Hour in March of 2021. Our mutual friend Nikki Bloom was on the show, and she'd invited Ed, who'd recently moved to Asheville, to attend. I was not yet acquainted with Band of Heathens or Ed Jurdy, but when we met after the show, I was struck by his warmth and attentiveness. It was a couple years before I would get him to Brevard to join me, but immediately during rehearsals, I knew we'd be friends, and this would only be the first of many times we'd share a stage. I had a blast on this episode, as evidenced by my overplaying, and I'm happy to share it with you. This episode was recorded live at 185 King Street in Brevard, North Carolina on May 30th, 2023.
From 185 King Street, the soul of Brevard, North Carolina, it's the Travis Book Happy Hour. With special guest Ed Jurdy and the Happy Hour House Band featuring Tommy Time Marr. And now, your host and mine, Travis Book. Nice.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks, everyone, for being here tonight. I'm really, really excited about this guest. I first met Ed when I hosted Nikki Bloom on the show. He came out, mutual friend of ours. It turns out, hanging out today, we have lots of mutual friends who've been on the Happy Hour before, including Graham Sharp from the Steep Canyon Rangers. And, you know, I didn't know nearly enough about Ed before I started researching and learning his music, but I am just so thrilled that he made the trip down here from Asheville and will be playing music with us tonight. So please make a welcome to the stage, Mr. Ed Jurdy.
Thank you.
Thank you. trying. I'll keep trying to make my way on back to this. The first time I saw your face and the taste when we kiss. Well, let's start over. I'll do better, baby, this time. We'll be together. 'Cause all I'm asking, you let me change your mind. All I'm asking for is you. In my mind is right for the first time. Well, I found the reason. Well, I figured out the rhyme. And if you let me, I'll do better. And maybe next time we'll be together. 'Cause all I'm asking, let me change your mind. All I'm asking for is you. Change to boo. You gotta understand, I'm a man, and man, that's all I can do. If I come home in the morning, rest your weary head upon my shoulder, maybe one day you'll realize, well, anyways, this could all be over. Don't you ever wonder why we're going round in circles? When we both know we'd always fit in a square. Oh, that ain't fair. Send me the sugar in my black coffee. I'll be your bumblebee buzzing around. Sugar in my black coffee. I'll be your bumblebee buzzing around. If I cannot sing my song, want you to get up on gonna sing it for me, baby. And in the times I come undone, will you pick me up? You put me back together again. I'll be with you through the summer and the fall. Don't you know in the winter and springtime, in the love I have for you, it's most of all. We've been talking about forever now, baby. Don't you ever wonder why we go around in circles? We want to fit in a square. Oh, that ain't fair. Send me the sugar in my black coffee. I'll be your bumblebee buzzing around. Sugar in my black coffee. I'll be your bumblebee buzzing around. Wanna fit in a square? Oh, that ain't fair. Send me the sugar in my black coffee. I'll be your bumblebee buzzing around. Be the sugar in my black coffee. I'll be your bumblebee buzzing around.
Man, what a joy it is. Well, it's a joy for me to be here and to get to play with these two fine fellas. I met Travis for a second a couple years ago, but I just met Tommy this afternoon. And, I mean, they just whipped all this together and like that. So I feel very fortunate I get to play with such great musicians here. This is really a treat for me.
Well, I'm really grateful you said yes when I asked you. And we'll just follow you wherever you go.
Say, mama got a voice like sugar, it's so sweet and fine. Sister sang Amazing Grace, she right in time. Well, they're laying poor Papa low in the ground that he worked and sold. One day waiting at the Jackson Station for the train to go. Well, she's been up all night, got crows walking around her eye. She could still raise a cup and a toast to a well-run drive. Well, he left her on a Tuesday still, gin, whiskey, and a bottle of pills. They're gone waiting at the Jackson Station, looking over the hill. They take me away, yeah. Hear the whistle play a sad, sad song. And lay me down where the river runs wild and strong. Well, sometimes she rides the ticket home, other times she leave you all alone. We're just waiting at the Jackson Station for the train to go. Track. Waiting at the Jackson Station, never coming back. Waiting at the Jackson Station, never coming back. Waiting at the Jackson Station, never coming back.
Ed, is it cool if we have a conversation? I ask you a few questions.
Let's talk.
That's what the happy hour is all about. It's all about the talk. Big hand for Tommy Marr down there on the Dobro.
Thank you.
Yeah, for those of you who have never, I used to do the happy hour up there at the Gray Eagle in Asheville. And then I thought to myself, why would I go to all that trouble when I could just do it here? Right? The music was never better on the second night. It was always nice to get to hang out with someone for a couple of days, but King Street is really the place to be. So here we are. So Ed, just a little bit of background. I'm not gonna ask you how the band started and all of that junk, but where did you grow up?
I grew up in Massachusetts on the North Shore, just north of Boston.
So did they, apparently.
Got a few massholes here tonight, huh?
They're everywhere.
I was born in a city called Lawrence and grew up mostly in Andover.
Excellent. And your father was a musician?
He was not.
But he played guitar?
He did.
Around the house?
A lot of music around the house, yeah.
Okay, but well, so he wasn't pro?
definitely not pro, but definitely.
But he was an enthusiast.
Major enthusiast.
Okay.
Major. I would say, you know, probably the biggest influence on me in terms of just having an appreciation of music and loving it. He loved it so much. It was just like, he lived for it. And before, you know, we could all have phones to hang out and entertain ourselves with in the Jerdy house on, you know, Saturday night around 7 o'clock, the guitars would come out and the piano would come out and we'd jam and sing songs and hang. It was great, you know?
That's incredible. And yeah. you one of these guitars was your dad's guitar.
It is.
And was that one of the ones that was around and you were jamming and hanging on when you were a kid?
It's actually, I don't know if you had this experience playing, but I started playing at such a young age that my hands were really small. So I started capoing everything, but I didn't. This is before capos were idiot-proof. And, you know, for a 5 or 6 year old, if you put the capo on backwards, it puts a divot in the back of the neck.
Yeah.
So these divots are still all in the back of the neck of this guitar.
That's amazing.
Which I think really pissed my dad off at the time. But now it's become very, like, it's a very cool nostalgic thing.
That
we have this, like, little telltale sign.
That's so cool.
Me digging into the instrument.
That's amazing. Yeah, I've got my dad's guitar, too. It was a 79 Fire Engine Red Con. Which
cool.
is a horn maker. It was made in Japan. I still
Whoa.
Got it. And it's a great guitar.
Cool.
You know, it's full of dad mojo.
Well, there's something about, like, you know, the earliest sounds that you you fall in love with are things that are just, like, the familiarity of it is just
yeah.
something special about it, you know?
Yeah. So I read or heard on a podcast, I do a little research. Was your first gig at the age of 5?
It was, yeah.
What was that like?
I've heard none of these questions in advance, by the way.
I do not allow my guests to see the questions beforehand. That's not how this gig works at all.
So, when I was 5, and it was in preschool, and this woman named Ella Jenkins, who was an educator and a folk musician, and traveled, and would kind of do concerts for children all over the world. She came to our school, and played, and they gave me the guitar, and I got to sing a song. So that was kind of like my first, like, gig.
That was your first taste.
First taste.
When did you know that you were going to make a career out of playing music?
About 2 weeks ago. No, I mean, I don't know. You play music your whole life for a long time, and there's always this sort of feeling when you have a gig, when you're living as a gig, that it could, you know, it could end at any time. It's sort of
right.
like it was never guaranteed, and you're always just grateful for everything that comes. And I think kind of like I've kept that mentality throughout working and playing, and I think it's really helped center me and keep me focused on loving it. But, I mean, I think probably in high school at some point as a teenager, I was like, man, if I could figure out how to do this, that'd be cool.
Yeah, you're like, I like doing this.
Yeah.
I would like to do this the majority of the time.
Exactly, yeah.
These other jobs seem less cool.
They're less cool.
Than
little
this.
Little did we know how much sitting and sleeping it would involve.
So much sitting. Well, that kind of dovetails nicely. What has been the biggest challenge in actualizing your vision for yourself as a creator and a musician?
I think, the great Ray Wiley Hubbard again, we're coming back to him, but he always had this, he has this great quote about, you know, keeping your gratitude higher than your expectations and things really work out well. And I think the most challenging thing, honestly, is just staying focused on why you originally started doing this, like what you fell in love with, you know? And as you do a lot of this, and I mean, like, you know, in my band, we've been together like 17 years, and it's just finding new ways to be inspired, you know, to staying plugged in and not getting cynical or jaded about things, you know, just sort of like always trying to be true to the music.
Yeah.
I know that's a super cliched thing, but, you know, when you sit down to work or you sit down to write a song or you play a show, it's like, whatever you can do to the best of your abilities in that moment, you try to capture it to be true to, like, to the essence of why you started doing it in the first place, you know? So
yeah.
I would say, like, staying present in that mind, in that headspace is the most challenging, but it's also the most rewarding. And,
right.
Right, and it's challenging because you don't want to, it's less about letting yourself down, it's more about, like, letting, you know, 14-year-old you down. Like, how you, like, you know, and I say this because it's, like, the reason why I play music is because of all the music I was a fan of and all the bands and singers and songwriters that I watched, and I was like, man, that's so cool, like they've changed my life and made it so cool. So I kind of feel that obligation to just, like, to try to keep the bar there, you know?
That's really cool. Is you talk about inspiration, is creation spontaneous or do you work at it regularly? Like, is it inspiration or perspiration?
Yeah, I think it's both, right? I mean,
yeah.
I think you have to have moments of inspiration, but I think, you know, if you're gonna if you know you're gonna make a career of this and do it as long as you've been doing it or as long as I've been doing it, it's like it starts with the inspiration, and that's like so exciting. It's just like, oh, it's like when you're whatever you're doing, you have to stop doing it and you gotta write an idea down or get your phone out and record a voice memo, and then it's like you come back to and you're like, oh, that was really cool, and oh, and now I gotta like sit in a room by myself or maybe get a friend and have them help me or have them help me with it, and then it's a lot of work, you know. It's like starting songs is really easy.
Yeah.
And finishing them is really hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so. I get it. I picked up this book, How to Write One Song by Jeff Tweedy.
It's awesome. It's a great book.
It's one of those books where, like, you ever start to read something and it's so good and so juicy that you're pacing yourself?
Totally.
I'm like, I'm only going to read two paragraphs and then I'm going to put it down. Because it's this little book, and I'm sure I could have devoured it 4 days ago when I bought it, you know? But I'm just like creeping through it. And, you know, I've written some songs.
Sure.
I know how to write songs, but to approach it from that standpoint, it's really cool. And, you know, Tweedy talks about, it's that same thing where, like, you know, you're kind of trying to capture lightning in a bottle, but it also, the more you work and the more you're prepared for the work,
yeah,
the better that whole process.
Yeah, and I think, like, maybe when I was younger, I was kind of afraid of, like setting time aside to work and just hoping that things would come. But I think the longer you do this, it's also, his point now is, like, the more you work at it, the more you do it, the more you're inspired by stuff. You know, the more ideas just come through you, and you're never going to waste a good idea. You know, it's just working that stuff all the time.
Yeah, it's taken me a long time to feel good, feel comfortable with that.
Yeah, me too.
You know, like, this may not be the last song I ever write, you know?
I hope not.
I mean, it still could be, but I'm just, like, I'm more at peace with that. What is the favorite, what's your favorite song you've ever written?
Woo! I don't know. I think in our band, I think this song called L.A. County Blues is a song that a lot of people like, and I like it too.
Awesome. It's great because we're going to play that later in the show.
Oh.
How convenient. This interview is going perfectly so far. How did that song come about?
It came about on a walk, actually.
Yeah.
I walk a lot. And before I, you know, filled my head with podcasts and noise all the time, before I was listening to my phone 24 hours a day. Mostly when I would walk, I'd come up with little ideas, like because I'd sing to myself or hum to myself or whistle. And that song kind of came, again, similar thing. A lot of it came really fast, the idea of it. And then to finish it, I had to kind of grind out on it. But it was just, it had the kind of perfect nexus of the spontaneity and the work and kind of like crafting the little corners to make it, you know, sweet.
That's so cool. What are your, who do you name among your biggest influences?
Man, there's so many, but I guess growing up, there was always a lot of the Beatles, the Stones, and a lot of 70s songwriters, you know, James Taylor, Cat Stevens, Gordon Lightfoot, Jackson Brown, Van Morrison, you know.
That's a great list.
Yeah.
You have good taste.
And then lots, you know, the Grateful Dead, obviously, and then, you know, Nick Drake and Richard Thompson. It kind of goes, and people are always like, you don't sound like that. And I know, you know, like, you listen to tons of music that, like, you know, has really deeply influenced and impacted you, and you know where you put it in your music.
Right.
But nobody else hears that, and that's really cool.
Right.
And there's tons of that stuff, you know, a lot of R&B and soul stuff, too.
Yeah, that's so cool. I was listening to a podcast interview, and you used the phrase keeping it sacred. Is music in some form, like a spiritual pursuit for you?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think I've kind of, I've come, you know, without being euphemistic about it, I've probably come the closest to touching God, well, in the presence of either playing or listening to music, you know?
It sort of felt
like time and space and everything disappear a handful of times. And that's kind of like, that's the objective, right? When we're doing it, is to kind of be so present in the moment that you forget about everything else that's going on around you, you know?
Yeah, you kind of, there's the potential there to kind of break through into a space that's a little bit, it's beyond yourself, it's beyond what's happening on stage, it's beyond the interaction that's happening in this direction between the audience and the musician, and it becomes this other thing.
Yeah. It's like multidimensional.
Yeah, and when you're there, it's like you just don't want it to end. You know, you're like you're trying not to think about it too hard because you can tell it's happening.
Yeah, and then when you think about it, it immediately ends.
Exactly. You
know, I was doing that. We were playing a gig a couple weeks ago, and I was like, man, oh, this feels. It's like I literally had the thought like, this feels so, is, and before I could, like, my brain could say the word, put the word good in my mouth, I just, like, just played the worst clam.
Right, exactly. Bonk,
bonk.
Exactly.
Well, there we go. That's gone.
That's exactly how it goes.
If you're enjoying the show, check out episode 16 with Nikki Bloom, episode 19 with Chris Jacobs, or episode 28 with Steve McMurray. Thanks for listening, and after the show, be sure to leave a review. Now back to the show.
What are you most interested in right now? Like, what do you find most interesting right now?
My daughter.
Awesome answer.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like, my whole younger life was, I was really obsessed with chasing music and chasing adventures, and I still love that, and I still certainly pursue it, but, you know, getting to be home with my wife and my daughter, and honestly, like, making dinner, that's kind of like my favorite. That's become my new outlet, you know, cooking.
Yeah.
It's like, doing it. It's like kind of, it's the only other thing that sort of gives me a little creative freedom and latitude like playing music does, you know? So yeah. I'm like, I'm a terror, like, a lot of musicians are great artists and can do different things, and I'm like, I can't draw a circle.
Yeah,
you
I
know
can't.
What I mean?
I so can't
it's
either.
Like, it's terrible.
So you cook?
I cook, yeah.
I have a handful more questions. How do you spend your time? Like, what does a normal day look like for you when you're not on tour, sitting and sleeping?
Yeah, a normal day, I get up, make breakfast, get my daughter ready for school, usually take her and her friend to school, go for a hike in, like, Bent Creek or something, because that's, like, 10 minutes from my house, take the dog up there for a run, come home, make some breakfast tacos, usually.
Love it.
And then, you know, go up in my office, play some music for a couple hours, do some email and stuff like that, and then school's out, and we're back to picking up and hanging out and doing that. So it's good. It's a good balance of things, you know?
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
What's at the top of your to-do list? Do you have any unfulfilled ambitions?
Whoa.
You can pass at any time. I forgot to give you that caveat before we started the interview. You can also be like, I don't know. You got any unfulfilled ambitions, buddy?
I mean,
you can also do that.
There's a lot, I'm sure. I'm sure there are. You'll have to come back. Next time we do this, you'll have to
think. Okay, next time we have this conversation, we'll talk about it. Yeah, that's maybe I should let you look at the questions first. Here's another good one. This will stump you. Why are you here? And what's the purpose of all this?
On planet Earth?
Yeah, why are you here? What's the point?
I mean,
do you have a mission statement?
Because
I don't.
No, music. I think that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah, to play music.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And to spread love, you know?
Yeah.
Spread good cheer.
Yeah, I'm glad you worked love in there. Love is really, that's got to be part of the ambition. All right, we're kind of heading, we're drifting into what I call the lightning round.
Okay.
Which means you can answer these short.
Okay.
But you don't have to. What advice would you give to that 14-year-old self of yours?
Whatever you think it's going to be, it's not.
Great answer. What color is your front door?
It's natural.
Yeah.
Stained. It's stained wood.
It's natural. I've asked that question. I ask that question every episode. And shockingly, that's the first one, but that's kind of like the best front door color you could have, natural.
I mean, I guess if we were going through the Minwax stain catalog, it would be walnut or something, but I think...
If we're getting real specific. Yeah. What's something you learned from your father?
I mean, honestly, everything. I mean, he's probably my biggest role model in life. I think the biggest thing is to be kind to other people, treat them the way you want to be treated, you know?
Yeah, that's it. Are you reading anything right now?
I'm reading the biography of Dion DiMucci, of Dion and the Belmonts.
Awesome.
It's an autobiography. You know?
Awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. He's amazing.
I love that kind of stuff. I love reading about people.
Yeah.
I love reading about what people think of other people and what people think of themselves. And what's really fun is when you juxtapose the two.
Absolutely.
You know, then it's really a lot of juice in there. Just a few more. Do you have any regrets?
Oh, so many. We don't have enough time to go through all of them. Yeah.
Okay. What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid for my daughter, I think, you know? Yeah, I'm afraid for the world that we're leaving our kids, you know, and trying to figure out how we can make it better for them, you know?
Yeah, that's a legitimate concern. What do you hope for?
Oh, I hope for smooth sailing for us, and you know, for smooth sailing for the future generations as much as that's possible, you know?
That's well put. And my final question is, what are you happy about? What makes you happy?
I'm happy to be here tonight, right now, doing this.
Heck yeah. That's Ed Jurdy, everyone.
Wish I could go on way back where the truth was real and I could touch her skin. But I'm caught here in the middle of the world, behind the movers and the shakers and the glamorous girls. Stuck behind the movers and the shakers and the glamorous girls. But they don't give a good damn for me. It ain't cool to be blue in the land of the free. No, it ain't cool to be blue in the land of the free. I'm stuck going south by somewhere, north by no one. I'm running out of town, missing the fire. When I live with them desire, I know you felt the same way too. Got lost in the middle and there's nothing you could do. I wanna run away, wanna get back home to my sweet little girl and the ones I love. Yeah, to my sweet little girl and the ones I love. I'm done going south by somewhere, north by no one. I'm running out of time, missing the fire. When I live with them desire. And the fire when I live with a desire. I'm dropping out, tired of sounding in. You're trying to pick up my life. You're trying to pick up my life. Trying to pick up my life. Trying to pick up my life.
Well, this is another, this song is half pandemic and half, I have my wisdom teeth and a tooth and a dental implant put in the same day.
It's awful.
It was awful. It was actually, it wasn't that awful. This is what's crazy about it. And I was heavily medicated, so that definitely helped.
Yes.
But I was in Austin. I had these teeth pulled and I flew home later that day. And I got home, I was laying in bed that night. And the first verse of this song came to me. It was a narco pandemic haze.
Sounds lovely.
We got a song out of it, you know. It's all right. Yeah, one, two, three.
I got a half a mind to see you. I have to smile to grin right through you. Been down in the mouth, can't fight it. My temperature's high and rising. I've been locked in the house for 52 weeks. Can't touch a bed, no, I can't sleep. Found Southern comfort up on the shelf. Drank a river dry, but it don't help. And when my head gets swimming like this, I need some real strong medicine. I'm not pretending I've been gone for way too long. So please call a doctor. She knows just what to offer. The good doctor, she's your friend. Crystal ball says seek within. Magic eight ball says ask again. Looking for answers, looking for help. The good doctor says you got to help yourself. Well, and when my head gets swimming like this, I need some real strong medicine. I'm not pretending I've been gone for way too long. Please call a doctor. She knows just what to offer. The good doctor, she's your friend. Come on. Swimming like this, I need some real strong medicine. I'm now pretending I've been gone for way too long. So please call a doctor. She knows just what to offer. The good doctor, she's your friend. Doctor, she's your friend. Oh, now the good doctor, she's your friend. What? Oh, no, she's your friend.
Well, thank you all. Thanks so much for hanging out with us this evening. Thanks to Travis and Tommy for playing with me and inviting me to be here. Thanks to 185 King. This is my new favorite place, man. I got to come down here and hang out more often.
That's how it works. It's just that easy every time. You're always welcome here, man.
When you must you meet a man and on everything you know that you can. And your landlord come around with a great big gun. Leave your number on the wall. You know someday, someday we'll outmount this go. But I keep on walking, talking all my day. Till my days are full of sunshine. Oh, my nights, they're full of rain. And wish you'd come on back and pick me up again. Leave your number up on the wall. You know that someday I might call. But I keep on walking. I've been talking all my day. Of sunshine, my nights are full of rain. I wish you would come on back, pick me up again. I'll leave your number on the wall. You know someday, well, I'm out this call. But I keep on walking. I've been talking all my day. Well, leave your number up on the wall. You know someday I might call. But I keep on walking. I've been talking all. I just keep on walking, I've been talking, oh. Keep on walking, I've been talking, oh, my day. Just about, oh, my day. Oh, my day.
That's Ed Jurdy. With Tommy Maher, I'm Travis Book. Thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
This has been the Travis Book Happy Hour Podcast. Thanks for listening. Huge thanks to Ed Jurdy, Tommy Maher, Thompson Guitars, Americana Vibes, and the Bluegrass Situation. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe and leave a positive review. It really helps us out. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Travis Book Happy Hour and online at thetravisbookhappyhour.com. And remember, it's okay to be happy.